I'd say good morning and greetings in Christ's name. The message this morning is titled, God is Unchanging. And I chose that topic to talk about with a little bit with what our circumstances are here at Calvary and all the change that is going on. And allowing us or mandating almost that we look at the one who doesn't change. I need your help this morning. I would have a request to make of you, and it's the same one I make of myself, is that today you make God feel welcome. We pray often that God would be present with us. We plead for him to be present. God is present. He has already promised to be here. And it's not a matter of God not being here. God is here. He very much is here. What's important now is for us to make him feel welcome in that we listen to what he has to say through his word and that we are responsive to him and that he can work in us. Pastor Mike Bro tells the following story of when his daughter Jody answered God's call to go into missions work. During her junior year of high school, Jody struggled to find a faith of her own. She wanted to know in her heart that all of what she'd been taught to believe was true and that Jesus Christ was real. Honestly, she was headed down a dark road. But God pursued her down that road. She eventually found a faith of her own. And when she graduated from high school, she said, I don't think God wants me to go to college right now. I want to take a year to go to Haiti. And I want to serve people in a medical mission down there. I said, are you sure you want to do this? Jody, it's 3,000 miles away from home. It's AIDS infested and the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And do you know it's controlled by the voodoo religion? I know all that, she said, but I feel like God wants me to go and help those people. I said, okay, if that's what you want to do, we'll make it happen. One of the hardest days of my life was putting my little girl on an airplane and watching it lift off, not knowing whether I'd ever communicate with her again. One night I got an email from Jody. She wrote, Dad, tonight has been the most remarkable night of my life. I got called out to this hut to deliver a baby. Dad, I've only delivered one, and that was with somebody. I've never done this by myself, but I was the only one around. They called me, and I get to this hut, and there's this naked, screaming lady on the dirt floor. I got a flashlight, and I'm thinking, here I am, 18 years old, and I'm in a hut in a third world country with a naked, screaming, pregnant lady. I have a flashlight, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here. To make matters worse, this lady from the voodoo religion walked into the hut, dressed in her red and blue voodoo garb, and began to chant some voodoo incarnation in Creole. She put some kind of oil on the lady's head, and when she started to walk away from me and the woman, she stopped at the woman's belly, put some kind of salve there, and walked the opposite direction, all the while chanting this Creole spell. I didn't know what to do. She stood at the head of the woman and stared a hole through me. When I was getting ready to deliver this baby, I just looked back at her, and I started singing. I knew she didn't understand English, but I just started singing, Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above, and with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Jody said that the voodoo lady became completely unglued. She grabbed all of her stuff and ran out of the hut. Jody wrote, that night I knew that this baby was going to be born with the blessing of God and not the curse of Satan. As I read Jody's email, my fatherly side thought, you get on a plane tomorrow. What are you doing in a hut with a voodoo woman in the first place? That then my heart beat so fast for her as her brother in Christ. I thought, way to go, Jody. Way to make a difference with your life. Way to stop floating around accident-like. Way to put your life in the hands of the destiny maker. Way to make a splash. Who knows who that little baby that you delivered that night is going to grow up to touch, and who that person is going to touch, all because of one courageous girl who said, okay, God, I want to put my life in your hands. I want to make a difference. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He's powerful and amazing. He takes care of his people even in very difficult circumstances. We can absolutely trust him. We can absolutely depend on him. He is there for us. Psalm 18, verse 1 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. These are word pictures that really conveyed to me the immutability of God. God does not change. You know, in a time when there's change all around us, we need something that is a rock for us. And the psalmist expressed that so well. God is immutable. He does not change. He is always the same. He does not mutate into something other than what he has always been. To change means to become or make different, to substitute or replace something. Some people like change. Some do not. Some people are afraid of it, and some people are just slower to embrace it. My wife is the impetus for change in our house. I'm a stick in the mud. I am quite happy to do the same things almost every day and to just delight in ritual and in doing everything the same. My wife is always painting something or tearing up something or asking me to do it. And there's got to be some change. And I think that's probably one of the things that reasons I married my wife was because she's so different from me. And she enjoys that kind of change. One of the things that Kate does that I've appreciated is, and especially earlier, she's not so much late recently, but she makes all these big photo albums. It's an album where she will record our family history, basically, in there. Some of you remember Creative Memories. She was really involved with that and doing that. And it's so neat to document those changes that go on. But some of us don't like change. Some of us would rather not be exposed to that kind of difference. We like it the same. Change can be good or bad or just plain down sad. Is there anyone that doesn't change? You know what my answer is going to be. Is there anyone that doesn't change? Yes, there is. And I want to tell you about him today. And that's God. He is the reference star that we can look to. He is the anchor that we can tie our boat to. He is the lighthouse that doesn't move. Like the horse down on Nag's Head, that they put a light on and it moved down Nag's Head and caused the shipwrecks that happened there. God doesn't change. For a scriptural basis, I'm going to be looking at several scriptures, actually. But I want to look, first of all, at a primary text this morning of Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 8. Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 8. If you care to open your Bibles, I encourage you to. Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 8. And we're going to talk about this scripture for a bit now and then come back to it again a bit later. Verse 5 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, for those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same as he was yesterday and the way he will be tomorrow. Jesus Christ, he is God. One of his attributes is his immutability. God does not change in his character and essence. Many times our position and feeling about change are affected about how we feel about how things are going presently. Things are going well, let's keep it going. Things have turned sour, time for a change. The reason for change is then mostly because things are less than ideal now. I want to share with you a quote from Bruce Getchie. I've followed him over the years. He's a pastor out in Indiana. Bruce Getchie shares, change is all around us. The same is true in people. Go to a class reunion and notice how everyone has changed. People may not grow up, but they do get older. The hair gets thinner, the midsection gets fuller, the memory loses its sharpness, and our health places limits on even the most carefree. We are changing all the time. We change our clothes, we change our minds, we change directions, we change jobs, we change cars, and we change moods, some of us in an instant. Since change is a part of our lives, it is hard for us to grasp the truth that God does not change. Human beings have their good days and bad days. At times, we might say that someone is not quite themselves, but God never has a bad day. Isn't that comforting? God never has a bad day. When you approach Him tonight in your personal devotion time, He's not going to cut you off. He's not having a bad day like some of us do. God will never change in His essence and character and purpose. This characteristic of God is called immutability. God does not mutate. And for you science people, you understand what the thing with mutate is. There are small changes that happen over a period of time, and there's mutation that happens. Of course, we don't believe in macro evolution, but there are minor changes that happen. God is immutable. He doesn't change. He is the God you can depend on to be there. Even if you find yourselves in a voodoo-infested Haiti, God's right there, and He's right there to take care of you. God doesn't change like man does. He has no reason to. God has no reason to change. Think about that. God has no reason to change. We change because we don't get it right the first time. We change because the path we have chosen meets an obstacle or difficulty that is more than we can or want to handle. It doesn't happen to God. We change because our preferences and personalities change. Doesn't happen to God. We change as we get older. Doesn't happen to God. We change because our surroundings change and we want to be like them. God isn't that way. He needs no improvement. There's nothing that could make God better. There's nothing that could make Him more powerful or more knowledgeable or more loving or more holy. God will never change. The next scripture I want to look at and comment briefly on is Malachi 3, 6 to 7. And that is the one that's often quoted on this subject of God's immutability is Malachi 3, verses 6 to 7. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Because He's God, He doesn't change. If He was anyone else, He would. Because of His unchangeable nature, the sons of Jacob and us here at Calvary this morning are not consumed. If we return to Him, He will still be where He always was. He hasn't moved. That's a concept I want to try to get across this morning, is that God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He will be always there. It's us that move. It's us that change. The next scripture I want to briefly look at is Psalm 102. Verses 25 to 27. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. He uses the word picture here of some old clothes that we have, and we get tired of those old clothes. We change clothes a lot. Some of us do. They get old and frumpy looking. At least my wife thinks so. I am going to wear an old piece of t-shirt around forever. And she says, honey, come on, you know, get rid of that old piece of thing and get rid of it. And he uses that picture of an old garment. He says, you know, we change clothes, you know, a lot. It will take a long time, the scripture we just read, but even the foundations of the earth will perish. Like an old garment that we take to Goodwill or some other such place so that we can justify some new clothes. Numbers 23:19 is our next scripture that we want to look at. Numbers 23:19 on the subject of God's immutability. Very important concept here in this verse. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? God doesn't change his mind. The King James Version of Scripture says God will not repent. I believe that's the rendering out of the King James, but it has a connotation here of changing his mind. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. It's as relevant and good today as it was when it was penned. That's a very important thing to remember as well. In addition to God not changing, his word doesn't change. It is a living document in a sense. It is there and applies to all situations, but it doesn't change in its essence. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Another word picture that I'd like you to grasp is that God is like the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The word picture is this, that there is an immovable light out there, and we could almost say it's the sun, but actually the sun we know is moving, okay? But relative to us, it really isn't, okay? The sun is stationary, and yet as we go outside and we stand in the sun, what happens to the shadow? It changes. What is moving? In this case, it's the world is turning, okay? Or we're moving. Something is moving, but it's not the sun that's moving. It's a very important picture to grasp of God. God is one that doesn't change. He is the fulcrum. He is the center point. If we see the shadow moving, it's not God moving. Brothers and sisters, it's not God moving. Something else has moved. And the other analogy I like to draw from that is the fact that as we face toward God, we have the light in our face. As we look toward God, he is the Father of lights, and the light is in our face. As we turn away from God and make that change away from God, we are walking into darkness. Amen? Yes, we are. As Dr. Evans used to say, Tony Evans, he said, an amen belongs here. Okay? We turn away from God, we are walking toward darkness. The next scripture is Hebrews 1:7-12. And actually, we're just not going to comment on this too much. It's actually a quote from Psalm 102, which we read earlier. But he emphasizes it here. Hebrews 1:7-12. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. We think of the Shenandoah Valley as someplace after we've been here all these years, and it's kind of new to us still, but you get so used to everything being the same. We know that out to the west is a range of mountains. We know there's another range of mountains out to the east. We know that if we go further east, we finally run into the ocean. That we think almost as unchangeable, unmovable. It's not. It's not going to last in perspective to God. It's one day going to be rolled up and thrown away. Finally, Exodus 3:13 and 14. And Moses said to God, "If you come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Even God's name indicates his immutability, that he doesn't change. He doesn't say, "I was." He doesn't say, "I will be." "I am." God is immutable. Does God repent? Okay, and I could ask a question from each one of you, and I would get some different answers. Probably. Does God repent? And the answer I have for you is a nebulous one, is yes and no. God does and he doesn't. What are you saying? Well, the Bible says that he repents. And then he says he doesn't change. Genesis 6 is an example of this. He talked about it when just before the flood, when God saw the evilness of mankind. Reading from verse 5 of Genesis 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." So you say, okay, God does repent. "The Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.'" I'm reading from the King James, which uses the word repent. So does God repent? And like a lot of preachers do, we go grasping when we start studying this stuff and we start going back to the original. And that's actually a good move here. It's not an evasive move. This is a good move because it's from the Hebrew. The word is nacham, which means to sigh, to breathe strongly, to be sorry, and in a favorable sense, to pity or console. So the word here translated repent is actually an emotion of God. So did God repent in the sense that we think of repenting and turning around and doing something different? No, he did not. Did God know that man would become sinful and he would need to destroy them? Did God know that? Yes, he absolutely knew it. Was this plan B to flood the earth? No, it wasn't plan B. What it means when it says that he repented, it means that he was sorry. He felt bad. He knew it from way back, but he still was sorry. God is a God of emotion, and he felt really bad. God does not change his mind like man does. God remains the same in his essence and character. He is responding to man. He doesn't need to repent or change his mind like man does. He already knew beforehand what was going to happen. He has never made a mistake. Everything that he does is intentional. That is the thing about God that we can be so comforted in. Everything that God does is intentional. He knew beforehand that it was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. He doesn't always cause it to happen. Okay, this is where I could probably get in an argument with some of you here, that he doesn't always cause it to happen, but he has allowed it to happen, and he knew it was going to happen. It doesn't mean he doesn't feel bad. that it does happen. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah 31. I want to read a few verses there. I stumbled on this actually in my study of this subject. Jeremiah 31 and verse 18. I want to look at just a couple of verses there. It starts out with the prophet Jeremiah basically relating how the people were. And then verse 20 is God speaking then. Verse 18, I have heard Ephraim grieving. You have disciplined me and I was disciplined like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. After I had turned away, I relented. And after I was instructed, I struck my thigh. I was ashamed and I was confounded because I bore the disgrace of my youth. And then verse 20, God speaking, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him and I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. What is this telling us? It is telling us that God is responsive to man's actions. God is responsive to man's actions. You say, well, God, you're doing things differently now. No, you're not. No, he's not. God doesn't change, but he is responsive to how people change. As I walk into the darkness and make some rebellious move with God, if I turn away from God and walk into darkness, and then I repent, or I turn around, and there he is. He's still right where I left him. He hasn't moved, but now his sun is shining in my face. Before, I was looking into the darkness. Now I'm looking back toward God, and it appears that God has changed. No, God hasn't changed. God hasn't moved. There's nothing happened to God. He is responding to me. And that's what's so neat about God. Yeah, he doesn't change, but he is responsive when we turn around. God has feelings. God has compassion. God is not a robot. God does not change in essence and character, but he is a responsive God. He cheers when we're faithful. He cries when we really mess up. God pronounces his judgment on people who sin. He changes his response if they repent. His wrath is awesome when we continue in rebellion. His mercy is equally awesome when we come humbly to him in repentance. God cares when we go through really, really tough times. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that God is crying today about Calvary. He's crying. He is a responsive God, and he cares about what's going on. And he's crying. He is crying. He cares deeply what happens to his people, his church. We have a special place in the heart of God. He knew this would happen, but it doesn't make him happy. He's hurting right along with every one of us. God is a responsive God. He feels for us. He responds to changes as he relates to people. He is merciful and kind. He is ready to reward us when we turn back to him. His consistent character hasn't changed and will not change. His love, his wisdom, his righteousness, his power, his perfect foreknowledge, his perfect execution of his plan. None of this is going to change. But he responds to people that he loves. I want to share with you a quote from A.W. Tozer. What peace it brings to the Christian's heart to realize that our Heavenly Father never differs from himself. In coming to him at any time, we need not wonder whether we shall find him in a receptive mood. He is always receptive to misery and need, as well as to love and faith. He does not keep office hours, nor set aside periods when he will see no one. Neither does he change his mind about anything. Today, this moment, he feels toward his creatures, toward babies, toward the sick, the fallen, the sinful, exactly as he did when he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for mankind. God is immutable. If he seems to have changed, it's not that. It's our perception. It's our position that seems to make him change. Okay, how is God immutable? Number one, in his essence. How many of you know what the essence of God is? Disappointed if you raised your hand. Or at least I would disbelieve what you think you do. We don't know the essence of God. God is mysterious. He's so much higher than we. We don't know what his essence is. But whatever it is, I'll tell you, it doesn't change. The God that he is always, always the same. Secondly, he doesn't change in his attributes. This is where we can understand a little more. God does not change in his attributes. The attributes of God are there and they will not change. His infinity hasn't changed. He still has no boundaries. His omnipotence. He is as powerful today as when he spoke the word and the universe appeared. When he calmed the storm, when he raised Christ from the dead, his omnipotence is still the same. It's still the same. Nothing changed. His omniscience, his wisdom, his justice, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his grace, his sovereignty, his righteousness. Thirdly, how is God immutable in his plans? How many of you have changed your plans? Yeah. Why did you change your plans? There's something that you didn't know kind of cropped up, right? Or you weren't able to carry it out. Doesn't happen to God. God doesn't change in his plans. He is able to carry it out. There's nothing that he can't. There's no half-built house in God's plan. How is God immutable in his decrees? His decrees are immutable. He doesn't change in his decrees. The decrees of God are immutable. He that believes on me is going to find eternal life. He that doesn't believe, who rejects me, is going to be damned. His decrees don't change. There's nothing that's going to change God's decrees. It's the same. There's no exceptions. And finally, the one that we really, really like is in his promises. God doesn't change in his promises. God is immutable. His promises are just like absolutely true. They will never change. Okay, back to our primary text a bit. Yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday and today, forever. Speaking of Jesus Christ, and as a member of the Trinity of God, he is God. Yesterday, it is important that God has not changed since yesterday. Because we know God by the way that Jesus was when he was here on earth. We know God in that way, and he hasn't changed. The accounts that happened 2,000 years ago tell us what Jesus was like then, and he hasn't changed since. He's still the same. He still loves sinners and reaches out to them. He invites children to come to him. He still condemns hypocrisy. He still performs miracles. Today we have a relationship with a changeless God. Our relationship is with a changeless God. Our relationship is not dated in the past. This is a very important concept. You will go to a church and somebody will say, "Well, I got saved. This is my testimony. I got saved 30 years ago." Brother, I know that's nice to know, okay? But how are you doing with God today? Our relationship is something that happens today. And we have that relationship with God as believers. Thirdly, the future. We hold his hand as we look toward the future because we know he is unchanging. He's just the same as ever. I want to make application to the message a bit today. Sermon application today. I only have 2 points, so rest easy. Application that I would see in today's message is, number one, God must be our reference point. God must be our reference point. If we're not looking to God, we're looking at something else, and it's not going to be what we want. We don't have God as that that reference point. If you've ever flown an aircraft or if you've driven a boat, you know what it means. And one of the bits of advice, I've not done much of either, but the advice I got is when you are driving this machine, whether it's in the air or whether it's on the water, pick out some reference point way up in the front and keep the nose of this craft, whatever it is, pointed toward that reference point. And I was driving a boat, and you look over toward an island somewhere, and there were so many of those islands up in northern Ontario where we were at the time I was riding the boat. And you look at that reference point way up in the front, and you see that, in fact, that's what I want to head to. The boat goes this way, the boat goes this way. Everything, you know, it happens a little bit. Just keep your reference point. If you're in an aircraft, make sure you're looking at the horizon and keep the nose of that aircraft a little bit above the horizon, okay? Keep that reference point. God is immutable, and he needs to be our reference point. Keeps us from getting lost. People around us can be good examples for us, but they're not our reference point. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Our reference point must be God himself. He is our reference point. Secondly, application is that God must be our security. I don't know how many of you are security freaks, but I'm one. Always been insecure. Don't know why. Maybe one of 14 kids had something to do with that. I don't know. Insecure. God must be our security. How do we, as people, tend to become secure in our own minds? How do we fix that insecurity that we have? Some of you are accumulating wealth. Nobody going to put me in the poorhouse. That wealth is my security. It really isn't, is it? Our business, our social security, and God forbid. Other people can be a security to us. I know 3 years ago, people I thought I could really, really trust in were, I got thrown out on my own. People are great to have you around you, and they are a great thing. But ultimately, God must be our security. Back to our primary text. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That is a great, great, great promise. The security that we get is from God. The Lord is my helper. He will never leave us. He's right there. If there's a distance between us and God, it's not God. We don't have a promise for the future. We don't know who's going to be around us. Even our spouse, the one we've lived for 35 years in my case, we don't know how long we're going to have that security that's there. But we know that we will have God. He'll never leave us. He will deliver on his promises, and we need to hold on to him. God is unchanging. God bless you. I don't know how we're going to wrap up the service. Me? Okay. Let's stand for a closing prayer. I thank you, God, for being here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you that I got through this sermon without majorly messing up. Probably I did. I thank you because without you, without your grace, without your being there for us, we are in a world of hurt. God, I just draw our hearts to you. Help us just to revel in the fact that you are an unchanging God and that you will not desert us. And in the circumstances of our life, take turns that we don't like at all, that we turn to you and that you will be there for us. I ask that you a blessing on each one that's gathered here as we leave from here, that our hearts would be warmed toward you and that we would seek you and that we will be rewarded for that. Pray it in Christ's name, amen. You may be dismissed. Faithfulness, O God, Father, there.